Good afternoon, and welcome to what I believe is episode 31 of What Comes Next Live. We're building quite a tribe of absolutely fascinating leaders from around the world. This week's guest comes to us from less than an hour down the road from me in Brighton on the south coast of England, and is the inestimable, I'm trying to pronounce that correctly, Tanner, who was the first person I met when being taught to be a coach, who ran a masterful three-day course which began with a lesson in energy management when he deliberately walked into the room while we'd all been waiting for 10 minutes for it to start. Just came in there, put his notepad down and said, right, and got started. Didn't say a word about it. No apologies, none of that very British apologies. You'll find out later from his accent that he's not from Britain. And then told us later, is don't apologize, just get on with it. So, and that was one of many lessons I've kept for many years around energy. So I'm really fascinated. I've not spoken to Tanner for a while. He's got a big wave behind him, and I'm guessing there may be a surfing metaphor in there somewhere. It's a pleasure to see you. How are you, sir?
Very well, Tom. Thanks very much for having me on the show. 31, that's a pretty good achievement. So well done so far. And some great, I've listened to some of your previous guests and they're excellent. So thanks very much for providing this service and the opportunity to be with you today. Tom, I mean, I remember that time and exactly. And, you know, the thing about apologizing is all around energy. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to some of your previous guests and you talk a lot about your interest in energy. And how that plays into communicating being part of words, but it's also being part of energy. And the whole apology story is all around, you know, when you apologize, you actually take the energy down. So who wants to go in and start a conversation? Who wants to go in and start a piece of communication from an apologetic space? And, you know, that simple little setup, I think demonstrated that, which you, as being a quick learner, quickly learnt from and remembered. And I don't know whether you've ever apologized again if you've been late, but hopefully it sunk in. But today, I said, you know, there was a little bit I put on the narrative to this course. I wanted to talk about surfing because I love surfing, but I can talk a lot about surfing. And its relationship to the world and business and individuals and human development. But Tom, you know your audience. What would you like me to talk about specifically?
There's a massive in-joke in there that's just gone on because you're one of the master teachers who taught me a lot. And one of the things you taught me about is setting an agenda for every piece of communication. Hence the line, what do you want to talk about specifically? And yeah, so we can play a bit of ping pong back and forth with this, but ultimately, the focus of the title of the show is What Comes Next. And genuinely and openly, I simplify that leadership is all about people, end of story. So, and as one of our past colleagues used to say, business is simple, people are complex. So it's, also, what's old is new again. So there's an awful lot we'll have learned about ourselves as individuals, about the world, about how communications and leadership works and doesn't work over the last 11 or so months in Northern Hemisphere and the pandemic. But yet so much is consistent over thousands of years of humanity. So, you know, not giving you too much ground to cover in half an hour, but I'm just simply interested and curious about your thoughts. Some people, before I finish, some people will give a lot of ideas and a lot of tips and a lot of tricks. And I remember one of the past guests, my friend Danny Coleman, who is the director of hazard management in the Cayman Islands. I kept asking her for stuff like that. And then I gave up because I realized that the way she showed up was the most important form of leadership she exhibited. Just, you know, tremendously positive, always with an upbeat energy. At a time when people had to manage through a national emergency operations center being open for, I think it was 180 days straight. They're designed to be open for 3 days. And just focusing on keeping people positive and moving forwards and aligned. And there was no one trick. There was just Danny being Danny. So I have no specific request for you other than just be more Tanner.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. And that is actually, you know, what we've just demonstrated. Mm-hmm. One of the first things is to let your audience speak. Let the other person settle in the conversation. So many times I'm with people and I'm having a conversation and, you know, they don't let the other person actually deliver a question of what they want to know. Mm-hmm. They just launch into a whatever they think. So, you know, one of those valuable things I've ever learned in my life, and hopefully in the courses that I run, I'm able to teach people, is when you're in a conversation, just think about the other person, not about you. And put yourself out. And, you know, we call it the hollow bamboo. You're just a hollow bamboo. You're just there receiving information, trying to disseminate that information to add something hopefully valuable to the conversation, to move on the conversation, like script writing. Script writing, you never put a word on the page unless it moves the story on. And I love script writing. And it is, so that's why movies can, and I know you're a lover of movies, Tom, too, yeah. Is that's why movies can cover so much ground in the 100 minutes, 120 minutes that they're in, because every word on the page has to move the story on. So how does that relate to what comes next, and how does that relate to surfing? Well, surfing is one of those places that's a big energy management space. And what in surfing is, when you're surfing, you learn a lot about yourself. And being a true authentic leader is really, for me, a journey of self-discovery, is knowing yourself better. Mm-hmm. And when you know yourself better, you then can be in a place of, I guess you would call it, support and perhaps inspiration or leadership for others. Because when you are sitting in that zone in yourself, others are attracted to you. Others want, we love to engage in that space of what I call effortless, relaxed confidence. We like to be around people who are like that. And because it feels like they just flow. But being in a flow is sometimes, you know, looks easy, but much harder. And so how do you, you know, I often go, well, how do you learn to be in a flow? So what I do is or what surfing taught me is that in order to learn how to be in a flow, it's not an intellectual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To learn in a physical way. And I think, Tom, you know, perhaps for a minute, you could, you know, share your experience of when you're swimming. When you're swimming, I know you love swimming and your boys love swimming too. How's that moment when you're in the flow and swimming? Tell me about it. What's going on?
I draw a slightly different parallel, because perhaps I love swimming, but I'm not the swimmer in the family. My two older boys swam in the Commonwealth Games. But I was an athlete in different sports, and I've written about flow a number of times, and it's the famous TED talk by the Mikhail, with an unpronounceable, to me at least, Hungarian surname, about flow. And you're absolutely right. It's a feeling of letting go. It's a feeling of just being present, and it's a feeling of aligned physicality, if I'm putting it into language. My probably greatest sporting achievement was playing the deciding squash match for a national team many, many years ago. And I didn't realize I was, back when you had to score 9 points to win a game, I was 8-1 down, game point down in the first game out of a set of five, which is a long way down, right? Yeah. And all of our team watching and all the spectators behind were going, oh my God, he's going to lose this. But somehow I'd gone on the court. I'd played this guy from the other country before a number of times. I felt really effortlessly relaxed and confident. And I just knew I was going to win. So I had absolutely no recollection of being 8-1 down in the first game. I won 3-1, 3-0. But I had absolutely no recollection. I don't remember them. If you ask me now, even though the people talk about this match over time in that squash circles, I don't remember it at all. And, you know, one of my favorite athletes, I named my oldest son, middle name after him is Michael Jordan. And he had a moment in the NBA finals many years ago. He wasn't known to being a long distance shooter and he scored 8 3-pointers in the first half, which was a record at the time. And when he shot the last one, he just, you know, people listening won't get this on podcast later, but he just kind of put his hands up as if to say, I've no idea what happened as he backpedaled past looking at his bench. So yeah, absolutely what you're talking about. It's very much a bodily learning, bodily experience. And what I'm interested in is, I mean, you've been surfing for many years. I've tried surfing and I did windsurfing and I found it a profoundly frustrating experience when I was thinking.
Yeah.
But it's what have you learned about, or what have you taught others from your experience perhaps about being aware of how do you switch from the intellectual thinking space to the flow space?
It's a very good question, Tom, because it's not instantaneous. It's a blend of things and it begins through a process. And so when you go surfing, and as you said, I've been surfing a long time, most of my life, and being Australian, I was fortunate enough to grow up near beaches, is that you begin on the beach. You begin before you even go out, before you even get in the water. You're looking at the landscape. You're sizing up the waves. You're looking at the wind. You're looking at the, you're reading it. You're seeing where the currents are flowing. You're seeing the size of the waves. You're seeing the sets come in. So you're taking in a whole lot of information and that's being processed inside you and conditioning you for the process that's about to begin.
Hmm.
And that, you know, I'd say to people, that's just like business, you know, like you go out and you view the landscape in business. You don't just kind of rush the office first thing in the morning. You stand back and you look at it, you look at the team around you and you go, well, what have I got today? Is it a big day? You know, the wave behind me is a pretty chunky wave. That's quite a solid wave to surf on. So if you were looking at that wave, you're kind of sizing it up and you're watching a little bit of fear arise. It's like, ooh, this is a juicy wave today. I better be on my guard. And you watch all that thoughts come up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing at the same time that your confidence must overcome that fear.
Mm-hmm.
So you paddle out and you sit there in the break. And you know, how waves come in sevens. So it's like challenges, call them challenges. Challenges come in waves. They come in seven different sizes. And there's always, you know, you've got to pick your wave.
Mm-hmm.
Like wave selection and strategy to get in the right place. It's just like business as well, because you're having to pick the wave that suits you, plus having to navigate through the other people who are trying to achieve the same result as you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain etiquette and rules, but you know, there is a friendly feel in the water, but actually everybody wants the wave. So you've got to position yourself right first. It's just like business. You've got to position yourself in the right place in the market to catch the wave. And yeah. then you catch that wave. But as you catch it, it doesn't automatically just pick you up and go, oh, look, you're on the wave now. You have to work hard. You have to paddle. You have to put extra energy. I mean, your lungs are bursting. You are stroking through the water, trying as fast as you can to get up to the speed of the wave until you feel that it lifts you.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it lifts you, you look over the top of the wave. And it's a long way down. it's like, whoa, you know, I didn't expect that, you know. I thought it was, you know. And in that moment, intuition has to take over.
Yeah.
Because if you're in your mind and you're not in your flow, it'll just take you straight over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on a reef, it'll just drag you across that reef and shred you if it's a shark reef, if you're sailing, if you're surfing in Indonesia or somewhere, or it'll bounce you off a sandy bottom. But it'll do, you know, it'll mm-hmm. give you a washing machine experience.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this risk, you know, that you could have that experience, or you know that you could successfully stand up as you're catapulting off the top of the wave and successfully turn and position yourself to enter into a journey along a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it all takes over, because it's all happening so fast. You are just responding. You're thinking. You, in reflection, when you look back on it, you can understand where it went wrong or where it went right. But the idea being, what you're trying to head for is this tube, this way where you're sitting inside the wave, as you see behind me, the wave is covering you and you're sitting inside there. Because when you sit inside a tube, Tom, it's a feeling of, you know, imagine in physics. Did you ever do physics at uni? And I think, you know, I was terrible at physics, but I think you're a pretty good mathematician and physics guy. Mm-hmm. But you imagine there's a speed of motion going in a circular motion mm-hmm. above you, and then you're being propelled at a massive speed along the face of the wave. So you've got this feeling of around you of a 360 degree motion and a propulsion forward, and those two forces are meeting each other. So you're actually accelerating, and at the same time, it feels like you're still. Because both the forces in their composition create almost like a vacuum. And literally, not a real vacuum, but a literal vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, you experience a connection with the sea, with the earth, that you've never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
That's why surfing's so addictive, is because you have this experience and it's, you're in a zone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like no ever, you just can't imagine what that feeling is like. And, you know, you may have had that in other times in your life, like when you described it, Michael Jordan throwing a three-pointer. You're just in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the key, what's happening is, at that point, your fear is overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in fear. And, you know, fear is a big inhibitor mm-hmm. in leadership. It's always useful to have some fear and some tension when you're leading. But if it starts to run you,
yeah,
it's not useful.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, you know, so when you were describing your squash game, mm-hmm. how much fear did you have? I mean, did you even, what was going on in your head?
There are things I'm afraid of, but, you know, in life. But one of the attributes that I've become aware I have through other people telling me is that I'm really fearless. The more pressure there is, the bigger the wave, the more I want it. So when we did this, when the captain did the selection meeting, what was the playing order going to be on each of the 3 days of the four country tournament? He knew he wanted me playing last in the deciding match on the last day, because it was going to be really close. So I think one of the things around leadership is to understand where people are. Some people have great strengths when times are calm. Other people have great strengths at times of pressure and crisis in the big wave. And for me, in that moment and other moments of flow, I've just felt the more pressure there was, the more relaxed I felt, which is perhaps unusual, but in a space you and I've worked in a lot, which is group coaching or facilitation of groups, I would always look to have a peer with me in the room when I was at the front of the room. And one of the most pivotal moments of any event I've ever run, I had 16 you know, senior people and the client in front of me in a real moment where their energy was totally stuck. And they're looking to me at the front of the room. All of their energy is focused on me at the front of the room. I turned and I went, oh, I know what to do. And I turned my back on them, walked very slowly to my colleague. You'll remember her, Kristen, who used to work with me. I said, Kristen, I have absolutely no idea what to do next. She had a similar attitude towards fear in that space. And she just looked at me very calmly and went, you will when you turn around. And I did. I knew what to do. But another partner in that environment might have sat there and going, well, you're supposed to know. What are you going to do? And then you get paralyzed by fear. So I do believe, you know, fear is very healthy to a certain level, and you're familiar with the idea of comfort zone, stretch zone, panic zone. Everybody has a stretch zone and everybody has a panic zone. And, you know, there's no growth in the comfort zone. So, you know, I think leaders should also be looking to not stay comfortable very long. They should always be looking to grow and stretch, and the company will grow and stretch, and the people in it will learn and grow and stretch. But there's no value in panicking. So fear to the level of panic is no use to me.
Fear is a really interesting subject, I find. Mm-hmm. It's a mind killer.
As Frank Herbert would say in June.
Exactly. Great. Great. And I think there's a few Star Wars quotes around fear and do the force and do anyway, which I think you know all the lines from Star Wars, don't you, Tom?
Pretty much for my kids.
That's where you've, I think, taken a lot of your leadership skills from, which were very, very, very wise. But it does impose self-limitation. Mm-hmm. And I watch, and I think, you know, this is the way I handle, if I can only, you know, relate to it personally, because I think people have their own relationship to it. Mm-hmm. And it comes and goes in cycles. It comes and goes for me in different stages of the day or different challenges. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you watch self-doubt come in and you, mm-hmm. the whole, I guess the process of getting in the zone is being able to observe yourself while you are doing. So you're being yourself, but at the same time, you are detached from yourself. So detached from your ego, detached from, so you're turning around in front of, you know, from Christian. She's told you that you're going to know, and you do know you're going to know, but you're not operating from a mental process.
No, not at all.
And she's given you confidence. Mm-hmm. She's just given you a simple piece of confidence, which then has allowed you to mm-hmm. operate in your intuitive from your intuitive space.
What comes to mind to me is the very modest CEO of Microsoft, who most people don't know the name of. We all knew Bill Gates. Most people heard the name of the big bull, Steve Ballmer, who banged on the desk, but Satya Nadella. And he's got one of his well-known phrases is people will ask him, what should we do? You know, what should we do? And he'll turn around to them. And there's two ways of addressing it. There's the fear-based energy of, maybe a crisis moment. I don't know. What do you think? But actually what he typically does is he'll turn around to people and he'll say, I don't know. What do you think? And he just puts them in a space of, well, we should do that. And they drop into their instinct and knowing.
Yeah. And that, if we go back to link back, and I know we don't have much time left, mm-hmm. is to the original point we started this conversation, mm-hmm. is going back to this space of not knowing, mm-hmm. and intuition, and knowing that in not knowing, you will know.
Yeah. Very Zen koan.
Yeah. So, is there anything else that you'd like to ask me?
So that's another in-joke language joke from us.
I'm just demonstrating some skills that.
I know, I know. It's wonderful. So it's okay. It's the GP, it's the person in the general practice who goes and tells the doctor, so what's happening? And they tell them, they fix it, and they say, is there anything else? And they give them everything else. No, there's nothing else. However, there is one thing you felt me catch on when you said getting in the zone is about stepping outside yourself. And it's not something to have a lot of time in, but there is that folk, that element of being the hollow bamboo. Well, that's not letting things touch the sides, but also the very sort of Buddhist idea of detachment and dissolving the self. And if I almost come up with a koan for this, we're at our most present when we're not present.
Yeah.
When we're actually outside of ourselves. And so it really hit me. That's the way to be in the zone, to be in flow, to be in your body, is to detach from yourself or your ego or your thought process and almost be observing yourself and everybody else.
And have what we call presence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, really cool, yeah. So, you've got to be pausing. Or on the other side of the pause, to be more accurate.
Well, it's been brilliant, Tom. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And congratulations for stepping out of your zone and creating this podcast.
Yeah, no, thanks. It's a lot of fun. And I think there's a link to your linkage there was also instinct. So when I don't think about what to do next, I just go, hey, I've been having so many Zoom calls, March, April, May, 2020. I should just do this and share it with people and talk to interesting leaders and learn from them. And it's kind of grown legs. I didn't know who my 31st guest was going to be. I don't know who my 41st or 51st is going to be, but I keep filling the calendar with new guests and learning things from them and also often connecting the conversations together and actually almost creating an alumni of the people who've been on the show.
Right.
It was never part of the plan, but it was just part of the flow.
Part of the flow.
So one of the flow pieces that emerged about 10 shows in was I always allow my guest beyond the platform to share. They can share afterwards on their podcast or video. But you always get the last word. So over to you.
Thanks, Tom. Follow your instinct.
Cool.
Thank you. Bless you.
And to you. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah. See you soon. Bye.